I hope everyone had a good week. Thank you very much for tuning in again to learn with me. As we'll see, Emir Tzashem, tonight, when Jews get together and try to be mechazik one another, it's not a small thing at all. Usually when the shira is given in B'nai Yeshurun on Thursday nights, so this time of the year, I like to try to build off of Pirkei Avos, and to use this time of the year between Pesach and Shavuos as an opportunity to explore Pirkei Avos. We know the Ramah brings a minog in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Sadi Beis, that there is in fact a minog to learn Pirkei Avos between Pesach and Shavuos. That minog is primarily fulfilled on Shabbos, usually Mincha time, and it's an old minog. It goes back to Rashi in the Sefer HaPardes, which is attributed to Rashi, from the period of the Gaonim, in the Tshuvos of the Gaonim, and the Siddur of Amram Gaon. And it's pretty obvious to us, I think, on a simple level, if I were to ask you, what is the Pashat Pshat? Why do we learn Pirkei Avos this time of the year between Pesach and Shavuos? So I think we would all assume the obvious answer, and it's a correct answer, that Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. We're working our way up to Kabbalas HaTorah on Shavuos. And of course, as the Medrash Shmuel, one of the classic commentaries on Pirkei Avos, explains, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. We have to become refined human beings. We have to become sensitive and good people if we want to be worthy of receiving the Torah. So we're in this period between Pesach coming out of Mitzrayim, heading towards Shavuos, heading towards Kabbalas HaTorah. And in the simple sense, we're trying to reclaim our humanity. We suffered terribly in Mitzrayim. We were slaves. Think about a slave mentality, very unrefined, very animalistic, working all day and all night, only thinking about when our next meal is coming. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us out. He wants to make us the greatest nation that ever was and ever will be. And we have to become human beings, and that's what we're working on. That's what Pirkei Avos is doing. Pirkei Avos is helping us to become human beings. We know that on Pesach, Sfiras HaOmer begins with the Karban HaOmer. And what is the Karban HaOmer made out of? The Karban HaOmer, of course, is made out of barley. It's an offering of barley. And by the time we come to Shavuos, 7 weeks later, we bring the Shtei HaLechem. A Karban, the Lechem, is made in that particular case out of Chita, out of wheat. What's the difference between barley and wheat? So traditionally, barley was used as animal food. Wheat, the grains of wheat, is used primarily, it's more refined, it's for human consumption. So the way that many Svarim explain is that that's exactly what we're going through during these days. We came out of Mitzrayim like, it's hard to say, Hashem chose us when we were animals, right? But there was something very animalistic, something very unrefined about us, something very Egyptian about us that had permeated us over all those years. We had lost a sense of who we were. And therefore, Pirkei Avos serves as that springboard to help us to come back to ourselves, to become human again. That's what we're working on during Sfiras HaOmer. We're reclaiming, or we're preparing ourselves to reclaim our humanity once again. And I think if you think about what's happening in the world right now, it's a very timely topic. I think the world is also reclaiming its humanity right now. That's what the world is trying to figure out right now, what it means to be a human being, what it means to be a sensitive human being, to be human and to be humane, to care about human life, to be able to reassess what actually matters in our life, as hopefully many of us are taking this time to do. And again, to say I'm better than an animal, I can hold myself to a standard that's above an animal. The Divrei Yecheskel, the Shin of a Rebbe, he said that when he first saw railroads being built for the first time, and he understood this new creation, he saw that people were going to travel, people would travel through the railroad system by train. He said he saw it as great tzaddikim did. They would look at what was happening in the natural world and in technological and scientific advancements, and they would try to find a lesson. So the Divrei Yecheskel, the Rebbe of Shinov, said, he said, I think I know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was allowing man to create cars and to create a railroad system. He said, I think it's a sign from Hashem. What was the sign? He said, we know that in the hierarchy of the world, there are basically four categories of existence. Right? There are people who have the ability to speak and to reason. We call it medaber, speaking individuals. We have animals, which we call chai, animal life. We have tzomeach, plant life. And then we have domain, we have inanimate objects. The truth is, the Kuzari says that the Jewish people are actually meant to be a fifth level. Yisrael is supposed to be the heights of humanity, above the rest of the world. And that's not a bragging right, that's a responsibility. But we have domeim, from the bottom up, we have domeim, inanimate objects, tzomeach, plants and trees, chai, animals, and then medaber, and then human beings. So the Shinovar Rebbe said, he said, you know, it used to be that people would ride on animals. Before there were cars, people would ride on animals. Why would people ride on animals? Because a human being is greater than an animal. We have respect for animals, we treat animals nicely, right? Tzar Baal HaChayim may be an Isser Daraisa, but nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us an ability to be human and not we're above animals. So a person had permission to ride on an animal. But the Shinovar Rebbe said, as humanity descended, man was not better than an animal anymore. Unfortunately, we sometimes become so animalistic, so materialistic, so small-minded, that we're not worthy. Who are we as humans to ride on animals? So Hashem said, from now on, you're going to ride on domeim. You're going to ride on inanimate objects. Metal trains, metal cars. You're no longer worthy of holding yourself above animals. But again, these days, these weeks of Sfiras HaOmer is about reclaiming our humanity. It's about becoming human again. It's about becoming humane and becoming sensitive. And as Chazal say in the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos, on the words, Adam Atem, Atem Kriyan Adam. We, the Jewish people, are supposed to be the ultimate Adam. We're supposed to be the greatest of humanity, the most sensitive, the most refined, the most caring, the most committed to lifting up and elevating the world, to try to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to share with you a line that I saw in the writings of Rav Kook. I've been learning some Rav Kook. The truth is, I haven't learned enough of the teachings of Rav Kook over my lifetime, although I certainly feel very strongly connected to Rav Kook and his teachings. But I've been trying to learn a little bit more. So over Pesach, I was learning the Sefer Midos HaRa'aya. Beautiful, beautiful collection of words of machshava from Rav Kook on midos, on character development. And it happens to be on the topic of dveikus, Rav Kook writes the following, and immediately I said, this is Sfiras HaOmer. This is what Sfiras HaOmer is about. You know, you don't even need a fancy Kabbalistic sitter. You're looking at a regular art scroll sitter when you count Sfiras HaOmer, and every night we see that we're working on Sfiros. Sfiros are supernal realms. They're filters by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses himself in the world. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus, 7 weeks of trying to tap into these higher realms. But what does it all mean? What is Chesed? What is Gvura? What is Tiferes? And what right do we have to be Osek in these things when this is really a secretive world? These are Kabbalistic concepts. They're ideas that really are high above us. So Rav Kook writes in the Midos HaRa'aya, I have it open in front of me, in the section on Dveikus, he writes the following. Im ein anu makirim, if we fail to recognize, shekol ikar hatzorach litalmudam shel hashemos, that the permission that has been granted to us to think about these things. What's the difference between Hashem's name Yudkei Vavkei and Hashem's name Elokim? What's the difference between Hashem's name of Tzivakos and Hashem's name of Shakai? What's the difference between a God who expresses himself through chesed or a God who expresses himself through netzach or hod? What are all these things? Shel hamidos v'shel hasviros. All these things that the Arizal talks about, these deep secrets of Torah. And yet here we are, coming off of 210 years of slavery, chayav adam liros es atzam, we just came out of Mitzrayim, and now we're busy with sviros. What right do we have to be busy with sviros? But says Rav Kook, who kedei sheneida she'anu tzrichim lizdabek b'midosav shel makom. We have to understand that each one of these is an amazing mashal to help us to understand Hashem. And I'm not learning them because I want to poke my head around in Kabbalistic thought, but because I want to be like God. I want to think about what is chesed. And I'm allowed to learn that sugya very deeply. I'm allowed to learn it even by way of pnimiyas haTorah, the secrets of Torah and Kabbalah, because I want to understand how Hashem runs the world. Not for some intellectual high or from abstract knowledge, but because I want to be like God. I want to be able to cling to His ways. V'sha'anu yucholim lizdabik ben. I want to walk in His ways. V'sha'enanu yucholim lizdabik b'gvura shamala below she'if olimidosav. And if I don't feel that I'm worthy of entering into that world of chesed and gvura and teferis, again, whatever these deep Kabbalistic concepts are, then I feel distant from Hashem. And Hashem is assigning us, the Jewish people, to try to be like Him, to try to understand how He runs the world, and to try to walk in His footsteps, kiviyachol. Im ein or ze parus lefaneinu, if this illumination of the Sfiros, if this goal of studying the Sfiros is not placed before us, ein anu makirim klal, Eskola Tochen Shel Chachmas Hamidos. You can have 25 different safe svarim on Sfiras HaOmer that explain every, you know, Gvura Shebegvura, Tiferes Shebegvura. You can learn it all, but if it doesn't make you into a better human being, then you miss the whole point, says Rav Kook. You don't know anything about the Chachmas Hamidos. You don't understand anything of the Yesod of the Sfiros, which is to make ourselves into a kli to carry that divine spark through this world. So that's what we're working on during this time of the year. So now let's pick a Mishnah from this coming Shabbos' Pirkei Avos. I want to focus just on a small phrase which I think will resonate very, very deeply with us in light of everything we've been through these last many weeks at this point. And it's from Hillel, HaZakin. In the second parak of Avos, Hillel tells us, Hillel Omer, Al Tifrosh Min HaTzibur. Don't separate yourself from the Tzibur. Well, that's a hard one, since we're, you know, we're quarantined, we're on lockdown, our shuls are shut down, our schools are shut down, many of our places of business are shut down. So what do you mean, Al Tifrosh Min HaTzibur? What does that even mean to us, Al Tifrosh Min HaTzibur? What does it mean, don't separate yourself from the Tzibur? So if one looks in the Tiferes Yisrael, in his commentary on the Mishnayos, he gives five explanations. I'm going to give you 1, 2, 4, 5, and then I'll give you 3. Number 3. Number 1, he writes, Shelo yifrosh mi minhagei hatzibur. You should follow the minhag of the tzibur. In other words, if there's a particular minhag in a particular town, right? So you shouldn't be the one person who's a member of the community but does his own thing. He does differently. You should be connected to the minhagim of your particular environment, your particular shul, your particular community, your particular region of the world. If you're an Ashkenazi davening with Sfardim, so then you gotta play, by the rules, so to speak. Okay. So follow the Minhagei HaTzibur. Explanation number 1. Says the Tiferes Yisrael, explanation number 2, Kishemiskansin Likvoa Shir Limur Olispalo. When people get together to learn together, or to daven together, Olis Yaitz Be'esek Mitzvah Obitzarche Tzibur, or the Shashul meeting, a general membership meeting. And a person says, I don't really vote this way, I don't care if they vote that way, whatever it is, I pay my shul membership, I'm good. I don't really need to show up and sit at the meeting for hours. Whatever they decide, both positions work for me, I'm going to sit back and do something else this evening. Lo yomar, a person shouldn't say, yachlitu hei ma sheyirtzu. Let them decide what they want, va'ani misratzu bekacho bekach, I'm fine either way. Says the Tiferes Yisrael, that's being poresh from the tzibur. Show up to the meeting. Show that you care. Rak tzarech liyayitz letovas hatzibur ulisayeya b'chol davar la'avodas Hashem. Get involved. Offer your opinion, whatever it is. Whether you think you're the most important person in the tzibur or the least important person in the tzibur. But show that you're committed to the tzibur and get involved. And don't say, I'm fine either way. When a shir limud is taking place, so be involved. Don't walk out when the rabbi is speaking between mincha ma'ariv to go learn something else. Be a part of the shir. Right? Don't start your own breakaway minyan in your house. Come back to the shul when you're able to. That's lesson number 2, says the Tiferes Yisrael. I'm skipping number 3 for a moment. Number 4, kishemispala lal atzmo, yishtatef as atzmo b'tfiloso imahem. When you daven for your personal needs, try to think about other people. Try to connect more generally to the community. Think about our Shmona Esrei. So much of it, almost all of it, is in Lashon Rabbim. Right? We don't ask for ourselves. We say, Rifa'einu, Baruch Aleinu. It's all in the plural. Make sure that when you daven, you're not davening in a selfish way. Daven as part of the tzibur. And number 5, he says, to leaders, to communal leaders. While communal leaders, yes, have to hold themselves a little bit above the tzibur, that's part of the expectation of being a person who carries the community. There's a responsibility to not mix in like a regular congregant, but at the same time, al tifrosh min hatzibur. A good leader has to be a person of the people as well. And he can't hold himself apart in a way that is holier than thou, or God forbid, seems standoffish. So those are 4 of the 5 explanations of the Tiferes Yisrael. But the one that I skipped over, and the one that we're going to focus on tonight, which is emphasized by Rav Avadya Mibar Tanura as well, in his commentary on the Mishnah on Pirkei Avos 500 years ago, says the Tiferes Yisrael, Kishahatzibur, when the community, and the community could be your immediate community, it could be your family, it could be the world at large, when the tzibur is going through a difficulty, velohu, and you may not be personally affected by that. Your line of business might still be functioning. You know, it's a good time for, it's a chiddush, it's like a good time to be a teacher. You know, it's like a good profession these days because you actually can keep your job. And you can teach from the comforts of your own home. It's an amazing thing. Baruch Hashem, I'm still getting my paycheck. So when the tzibur, right, but a lot of people, millions of Americans are out of jobs. And millions of people in the world, bli ayin hara, I'm not sick from coronavirus, and my family is not sick. But there are people in my community who are sick. And there are people in the world who are sick. And 180,000 plus people have died from this dreaded illness already. So when the tzibur is suffering, velohu, and you don't, maybe that particular tzara doesn't affect you directly, even though we're all affected by this, obviously. But when the tzibur is hurting, velohu, says the Tiferes Yisrael, shruyim batzar, yargish tzarasam, feel their pain. Ki'ilu hu atzmo gam kein shori imam bitzar. Try to connect to the pain of someone else. And it's very, very hard. We're all numb at this point. We're all overloaded. We're all burnt out. We're all ready for this to be over. And we don't know the timeline. And we sit, we wait to get the daily updates. And every day it seems like, you know, we have no idea which direction we're heading. But to try to muster up the strength to not be selfish and to think about other people. And to try, and we'll see that when we think of others and we try to connect to others, we actually lighten the load from someone else. In the words of Rav Avadim Bar Tanura, Al Tifrosh Min HaTzibor means Hishtatev B'Tzarasam. Hishtatev, be a partner in their suffering. Shekol HaPoresh Min HaTzibor Eino Roa B'Nechamas HaTzibor. He's paraphrasing a Gemara in Meseches Tanis and Daf Yud Aleph. That anyone who separates from the suffering of the Tzibor will not be worthy, will not be zocha to see the comfort of the tzibur as well. What is the context of that Gemara? So let me share with you the full Gemara. Again, the Gemara is in Tanis, Daf Yud Aleph from Aleph. Isaac, thanks for taking good notes over there. I appreciate that. I can see you from here. It looks great. If anyone wants notes, you'll email Isaac Held afterwards. I'll send you his notes. Okay, so the Gemara in Tanis says in Daf Yud Aleph, right? A person should always connect himself to the tzar of the tzibur. Where do we learn this from? We learn it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had Ruach HaKodesh. Moshe knew Klal Yisrael was going to defeat Amalek. Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting there and his hands were becoming heavy. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu is struggling to keep his hands up. So what does he do to prop up his hands? He doesn't take a pillow or a cushion. Moshe Rabbeinu takes a rock, says the Gemara. And he places it under himself to give himself a little bit of support. So the Gemara asks, "V'chi lo haya lo leMoshe kar achas o keses achas?" Moshe couldn't find a pillow, a cushion. Moshe couldn't make himself a little more comfortable. He's not a young man. Elakach amar Moshe, Hoel v'Yisrael shruyin b'tzar. If my fellow Jews are suffering, afani heya imahem b'tzar. I am going to join them in their suffering. And then the Gemara says, and this is what Rav Avadim Bar Tanura was paraphrasing, Kol ha-metzar atzom ha-tzibor, anyone who's willing to hurt with the community, to suffer with others, zocha v'roa b'necham ha-tzibor, will be zocha to see the salvation of the tzibor. The Marsha explains on that Gemara, it means we have to include ourselves, even if we're not directly affected, like I alluded to. Moshe Rabbeinu knew Klal Yisrael was going to win the war. And Moshe Rabbeinu could have sat at the top of the mountain with his hands raised high, sitting on a comfortable lounge chair. You know, he could have brought a lazy boy chair, put his feet back, and could have got comfortable. But he knew that down below there were a lot of scared Jews who were fighting a fierce enemy called Amalek. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't put my feet up at a time like this, even though I'm fine and I know Klal Yisrael is going to be fine. But we learn from here, says the Marsha, that even when you're not hurting, we have to try to hurt with those who are hurting. But my friends, let's ask a question on this Maamar Chazal. What does it mean? Al tifrosh min hatzibur, don't separate yourself from the tzibur, because if you suffer with the tzibur, so then you'll be able to celebrate the salvation with the tzibur. The Tosfos Yom Tov, in his commentary on the page opposite Rav Avadim Bar Tanura, in the standard edition of the Mishnayos, the big Mishnayos, the old Mishnayos, that people don't use enough anymore. So the Tosfos Yom Tov asks a simple question. He says, hold on a second. Thanks, but no thanks. In other words, I don't want to suffer with you, and then I don't want to celebrate with you. I'll stay out of it completely. He says, "V'kasha li, de'imi shumha." If you're telling me, suffer with the tzibur, so that when the person finally gets his job back, you can be happy for the guy. I don't want to be sad with you, and I don't want to be happy with you. I want to exclude myself from the whole thing. He says, it's like the mushal that people say about a wasp. Wasp, I don't want your sting, and I don't want your honey. I don't want to be a part of the whole thing. I want to opt out of the whole thing. No, it's a good question. Why do I have to suffer? Why can't I say I'm not suffering? And I won't feel the joy that you feel when you recover from coronavirus, because Baruch Hashem, I didn't have coronavirus. Why do I have to suffer and then celebrate your success? So he gives several answers, and each one is very powerful. He says, if you look at Rashi on that Gemara in Maseches Tanis, Rashi actually says, it's not if you suffer, then you'll enjoy that particular salvation. Rashi actually writes that a person who doesn't suffer with the tzibor, eino roet simen bracha le'olam. If you detach yourself from the tzibor, not only will you not celebrate that person's particular salvation, but in fact Hashem is going to punish you that you're not going to have much success in your life at all. That's how critical, that's how important it is to be a part of the tzibor. So whether you like this particular situation or not, or whether you're affected directly, the general responsibility of a Jew is to feel the pain of others. And opting out means you're opting out of all the bracha in the world, God forbid. Answer number one. Says the Tosfos Yom Tov, a second approach, Od Yesh Lomar, Devadai Nechama Sibur Adifa Mitzarasam. You know why it's worth opting in? Because the joy that comes afterwards will certainly be greater than the suffering that is being experienced right now. Shekein Mida Tova Maruba, because that's the general principle by which God operates. That the reward is always greater than the punishment. That God's goodness is greater than the suffering. So in other words, you want to opt out? Opt out, no problem. But you're going to regret it later on, because you know what? The payback is exponential. The reward that you're going to get, the joy that you're going to experience in the salvation, is far greater than the suffering that's being asked of you right now. That's his second answer. And his third answer, he says, Inami, She'eino roe v'yamas below ito, or yigalim makomo. If a person chooses to opt out, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow you, very precisely, like the Gemara says, then you're not worthy to be roa nechamas hatzibor. What does it mean you're not worthy to be roa? That means when the salvation comes, Hashem says, I have to make sure this guy is no longer around. And God forbid a person will either die, God forbid, or be exiled from his place to not be worthy of seeing the salvation. But in all these answers, the common denominator is opting out is not really an option. And therefore, Hillel HaZaken, the sensitive Hillel, and so many stories in the Gemara, Bistaf Lamed Aleph, Hillel being Makar of the Gera that Shammai had no patience for. Hillel was a sensitive soul. Hillel knew how to bring refuah to people who were hurting. Hillel, in fact, the Chassidus point out that Hillel is Rashi Tevo, is a phrase we say in our Psukei de Zimra in the morning. Harofe lishvure leif. Hey Lamed Lamed. Harofe, it's a pasuk in Tehillim. Harofe lishvure leif. He's the one who knows how to heal a broken heart. So Hillel says, yes, it hurts sometimes. We're hurting enough on our own. Now I have to hurt for someone else also? Yes. Al tifrosh min hatzibor. But of course, it's not by chance that if we go a little bit further in Hillel's statement, and again, you'll open up a Pirkei Avos either now or on Shabbos, and you'll take a look, and you'll think about some of the ideas from tonight. Hillel says, al tifrosh min hatzibor. You know what he says after that? He says, don't trust yourself until the day of death. And then he says, va'al tadin es chavercha, don't judge someone else until you're in their shoes. What's the connection between these two parts of Hillel's statement? Al tifrosh min hatzibor, don't separate yourself from the community, which means the suffering of others, and yet, al tadin es chavercha, ad shetagi limkomo. Don't judge a person, don't judge your friend until you've reached his place. I think you could say the pshat is as follows. On the one hand, it's impossible for any human being to truly understand what another human being is going through. We could be the best friends. We could be a husband and wife. We could be parent and child. We could be Rebbe and Talmud. And we could share very openly with each other what we're going through, how we feel. And yet, at the same time, it's impossible for me to truly know what another person is going through. Al tadin es chavercha ad shetagi limkomo. I can never reach another person's place. You could have the same illness that I have, but we're going through a different experience. You could be out of a job, and I can be out of a job, but it's a different experience. You could be having shalom bias issues, and I could be having shalom bias issues, but it's never exactly the same. So maybe you might think, al tadin es chavercha ad shetagi limkomo, don't judge a person until you're in their place, and the bottom line is, you can never be in their place. So maybe Hillel's saying, so just don't judge others. Don't look down upon other people. Try not to look at them negatively, okay? I can't really understand what they're going through. So you know what? At the very least, I'm not going to look at them in a negative way. But you know what the downside of that is? The downside of that is by convincing myself that I can't really understand what they're going through, I might say that I can't really help them. And therefore, Hillel balances himself out. On the one hand, certainly don't judge another person. You can't really understand what someone's going through. But that doesn't mean that you can't help. Al tifrosh min hatzibur means don't use the fact that I can't understand what they're going through to say that I can't get involved. There's nothing I can do. There's always something you can do. There's always a something that you can do to be mechazek a person in need. How about a word of comfort? How about calling someone up and just offering a word of comfort at a difficult time? I read a story. There was a family of Belzer Hasidim. A couple of weeks before Pesach, the matriarch, the mother of the family, passed away. And imagine it was right before Pesach, and the mother always was so, you know, she was such a balabasta, she was so capable in preparing everything for Pesach. And now you have a bunch of young girls, Yesomos, relatively young girls, they had one son as well. And this family is trying to figure out, you know, how to kosher the kitchen for Pesach. You know, the mother was like, you know, she was in charge. She was the captain of the ship when it came to Pesach. And these orphan girls and their orphan brother, they're trying to figure out how to kosher, and they're tinfoiling things and trying to figure out, you know, what's fleishiks, what's milchiks. They're trying to put it together the best that they can. And they're looking at their kitchen, you know, it's Erev Pesach, and it's not like Mama used to do it. They get a knock on the door Erev Pesach. And they open the door and they're surprised to see it's the Belzer Rebbe. The Belzer Rebbe standing at their door. It's unbelievable. The Rebbe on Erev Pesach comes to visit them. And the Rebbe comes in. He says, I want to see the kitchen. They say, oh, the Rebbe's going to say, what a bizayon, you know. It's not even kosher for Pesach. The Rebbe walks into the kitchen and the Rebbe looks at the children and he says, wow, it's exactly like your mother did it. This is exactly, you did it. This is perfect. This is exactly the way that your mother made Pesach. Can you imagine what a chizuk it was for these Yesomim to be able to see that the Rebbe came to them? They were worried he's going to say, your kitchen's not even kosher la Pesach. The Rebbe said, wow, your mother's looking down from Shemayim. She's so proud. You did it exactly the way that she would have done it. It's exactly her Pesach kitchen. And trust me, it wasn't exactly their mother's Pesach kitchen. But the Belzer Rebbe understood that if I offer a word of chizuk, you know what? I can't bring their mother back from the dead. And I can't kosher their kitchen for them. But I can offer them a word of chizuk, and that goes a long way. And a person has to appreciate that. We have to realize that. To tell someone, to call up someone who you know is affected by this horrible virus, and to say, I'm davening with you, or I'm davening for you. In this week's parasha, the double parasha of Tazria Metzora, we learn about a person who's afflicted with tzaras. And it's so alive this year. You know, usually Tazria Metzora, we're like, these are long, schleppy parshas. We can't relate to it. Tzaras is long gone in the world. It's not the medical illness of leprosy. It's a spiritual ailment that no longer exists. And it's so foreign to us. And this year, it's so alive. It's so relevant. We think about the person who's sick with tzaras, this strange disease. We think about this person who's so isolated, who's so alone. Unkelish translates the words nega tzaras as machtash segiru. Machtash means an illness. Segiru, sagar, means closed in, quarantined. The essence of tzaras is the fact that you feel isolated. And the person who has tzaras sits outside the camp, or he sits trapped in his home, waiting for the kohen to tell him what his next move is. But when the person has tzaras, listen to this pasuk, it's unbelievable. Vatzarua asher bo hanega. A person who has tzaras, bigodav yihyu frumim. He has to go, nebach, it's so embarrassing. He has to go with torn clothing. Virosho yefarua, and he can't get a proper haircut. Although my wife did a pretty good job before Pesach, first time she ever gave me a haircut. I have to give her a lot of credit. She's got a promising career when they let the barber shops open up again. So rosho yefarua, you have to let your hair grow wild. The beard's not growing wild. I actually like it this way. This is how I try to keep it. Va'al safam yateh, and you have to wrap. The person with tzaras has to wear a face mask. Al safam yateh, has to wrap himself up to his lips. And when someone comes close to him, he has to say, I have coronavirus, stay back. V'tome, tome, yikra, the pasuk says. He calls out to people, don't come close, I'm tome. You don't want to get anywhere near me, I'm contagious, I'm spiritually contagious. Tome, tome, yikra. Why is he walking around screaming, tome, tome, yikra? this person who hardly has a connection to anyone. On the one hand, he's pushing people away, but you know what he's really asking for? He's saying, does anyone even remember me? Is anyone thinking about me? Is anyone longing for me to be able to come back to the community? Or am I some outcast? Am I some forgotten Jew? Tomei Yikra, the Gemara explains in Moed Katan Daf Heyamad Aleph. You know why he walks around screaming out, I'm Tomei. He's looking for compassion. He's looking for empathy. Tzorech lahodia tzoro l'rabim. The Gemara says he needs to declare his pain to others. V'rabim mevakshin alav rachamim. So that people can daven for him. On the one hand, he's telling people, I'm contagious, be careful. You know, make sure you stand back. You can see I'm wearing a face mask. I'm trying not to spread my disease. But he's also saying, I wonder if anyone knows, you know, anyone remembers what the face behind the mask even looks like anymore. Rabim mevakshin alav rachamim. And Klal Yisrael, when we hear the Mitzora, who's suffering from a machtash segiru, from an illness of confinement, we say to such a person, we're going to daven for you and we're going to daven with you. I found an amazing line in the Siddur of the Vilna Gaon. The Siddur Isha Yisrael, a little old edition over here. It's amazing. It's one of these, it has, in the binding, they used like old newspapers. I don't know how to bind this thing. Looks like an interesting court case. I don't know, it's in English. It's funny. Anyway, so in the commentary of the Vilna Gaon on the words in Shmona Esrei, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sora Seche, he says such an amazing thing. You want your tefillos to be answered? The Vilna Gaon says, listen to this. Hamerachim al habrios, merachimin alav min hashamayim. When you have mercy on others, when you daven for someone else, even though we have plenty of our own things to daven for, when you have rachmanis on another person, merachimin alav min hashamayim, they have rachmanis on you in shamayim. Shnei dalsos bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem created two doorways. Echad b'leiv hashamayim, ve'echad b'leiv ha'adam. There's a door in the heavens, which is the, you know, knocking on heaven's doors to get our tefillos in. And then there's a doorway to the heart of man. Kasher hekish bedeles hatachtios. When someone knocks on your heart and someone says, have rachmanis on me. When someone comes to your doorway and says, please, can you daven for me? Can you spare a few dollars? Right? Can you think of me? Can you do something? Can you help me? So when a person knocks on your heart and you open your heart, you know what happens, says the Vilna Gaon? The corresponding door in Shemayim opens up as well. When a person has Rachmanas al Abrios, Niftuchu Dalsos HaShemayim. These two doorways, says the Vilna Gaon, are aligned with each other. When you open the doors of your heart, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens the doors of Shemayim to allow all of our tefillos through. So again, this mission is so unbelievable. Al Tifrosh Menat Tzivor. In a time where there's the least sense of Tzivor maybe we've ever felt in our lives, it's an opportunity to understand in a deep way, what does it mean to be nose ba'olim chavero? What does it mean to carry the weight, to carry the burden of another person? Rav Yerucham Levavitz, the great Mashgiach, explained in his Das Chochma U'Musar, he says, nose ba'olim chavero, if a person has a financial debt, if someone owes someone $1,000, so the guy who's owed the money, he doesn't care who pays him back. He doesn't care if the guy who owes him $1,000 gives all $1,000. Or if 1,000 people open their heart and each person gives a dollar, he gets his money back either way. When a person's carrying a heavy load, so to speak, when we join them, and it's a metaphysical reality, but when you join someone in their pain, when you daven for someone else, you lighten their load. You're helping them to carry it. They're carrying 100 pounds. Two people carrying 100 pounds is easier than one person carrying 100 pounds. Says of Yeruchim Lavav, it's no se ba'olim chavero. When we carry together, it gets that much easier. You take the weight off of another person's shoulders. So friends, al tifrosh menat tzibur. Let's make sure that we cling to one another and someone else. To try to think about someone else and to put someone else before ourselves sometimes. And I want to end with a very, very powerful story. An amazing story about a tzaddik, Rav Gedalia Moshe of Zhvil, the Rebbe's of Zhvil. The family name was Goldman. He passed away in 1950. His father is also a big tzaddik in Yerushalayim, Rav Shlomko Zhviler, Rav Shlomo of Zhvil. And he was accused at one point in his life of being a spy. Okay, he was a classic story of a Jew, trumped up charges. You know, he was sentenced to death. And when he was being taken to court, he said to them, it was unbelievable, his emunah and bitachon. He says to them, he says, listen, he says, our sages teach us that nothing can happen to a person in this world unless God signs off on it. So I'm telling you right now, you can't execute me unless God wants you to execute me. Imagine saying that to the people who are taking him to be sentenced to death. In the end, they didn't execute him. In the end, he got off. at least from being killed, and he was sentenced to imprisonment. Very, very, very harsh imprisonment. Many, many months of isolation, suffering, torture, lack of food. He suffered terribly. Mamish terribly. And throughout, he did everything he could not to violate Shabbos. With unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh, he took so many times in solitary confinement, so many times he took a beating, to not be Mechal Shabbos. The time came for him to be released. And the sadistic commandant who had beaten him all those years, he said to him, okay, you know, your time is up, you're free to go. But he knew it was the Shabbos. And he knew how much this tzaddik was trying throughout his terrible suffering to keep Shabbos. And he said, you're free to go, all you have to do is sign this paper, which is granting you your freedom, all you have to do is sign. So Rav Gedalia Shlomo, he looks at it, he says, I can't sign. It's Shabbos, I can't sign. So the commandant says to him, he says, if you don't sign this paper, it's another 8 years, it's now or never. You sign now and you're out, if not, you're doing the whole thing again, another 8 years of imprisonment. You sign these papers. He says, I'm not signing these papers. I'm not being Mechal Shabbos. I'm not signing the papers. He says, you're out of your mind. You're crazy. Oh, you'll never last another 8 years. But he refused to sign the papers. There was an elderly Lubavitch Chassid who was also being held in captivity, who was also being released at that same period. And this elderly Chassid, the commandant says to him, he says, okay, same deal for you. Sign the papers and you're free to go. And this elderly Lubavitcher says, I'm not signing the papers. It's Shabbos. I'm not signing the papers. So Rav Gedalia Moshe jumps up and he says, I'll sign the paper for him. So the commandant says to him, you wouldn't sign for you. A second ago you told me you can't sign. So he says, no, I told you I can't sign for myself. He said, you see, I'm a young, healthy guy. I'm going to be fine. I can make it another 8 years in here. And therefore, for me, it's not pikuach nefesh. For any normal person would have said, get out of there. For him, he said, I can't. For me, I don't think I have a heter to sign. But for this elderly Jew, he's old. He's not healthy like me. He's not going to make it. And therefore, if he won't sign for himself, I 100% will sign for him. There's no way he's staying in here another second. He needs to go free. And that's what the halacha demands. And I'm prepared to sign on his behalf. This sadistic individual who had tortured both of them for all those years, something broke in his heart and he said, both of you get out of here. Neither of them signed. They were both released at Shabbos. He wasn't willing to sign for himself, but for another Jew, he was ready to sign. He was ready to do it for another Jew. And when he put someone else before himself, when he showed that care and that concern and that sensitivity to another human being, it brought the Yeshua upon himself. So Mirtzah Hashem, halavai, halavai, we should be zochet to see the end of all this suffering very, very soon. We should all get out of this mess in good health. And those who have lost financially or are struggling emotionally, whatever it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should pay us many, many times over, like we saw in the Tosfos Yom Tov. That those who are willing to suffer with the Tzibur are going to rejoice that much more when it's all over. Let's hang on to that Amun and Bitachon. Let's continue to look out for one another. And Amir Tzah Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will set us free very, very soon. I want to wish everyone an amazing Shabbos. Thank you so much for tuning in to learn with me. And Amir Tzah Hashem, I look forward to learning with you again next week. Have a great Shabbos.